For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, 5:06 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugow and Luigi with Tiki Barber, Evan and Tiki. You just heard it there in the traffic report. Green Day at Citi Field. Now, Teak, they had the situation at Citi Field. Sean went to a concert. He went to the Foo Fighters. Unfortunately, now tonight looks great. It looks perfect. There are no mushes. There are no jinxes. The weather is clear. You'll be fine if you're heading out to the Green Day concert. But he was at Foo Fighters. It rained, so only caught like maybe an hour of it because there was lightning.
Oh, that's right. They hurried up and tried to get some of their hits in before they got kicked off stage.
Yeah, and that's just a bummer. It sucks, but it is what it is. Obviously, there's no roof. Now, I've never been to a concert inside Citi Field. But I did go to, I don't know if you want to call it a concert, I went to, Teak, have you ever heard of the Electric Daisy Carnival?
No.
Better known as EDC?
What?
All right, so EDC, it started in Vegas. It's still in Vegas. It's at the Raceway, which is a little bit off the strip. It started in Vegas, and then they went around.
Is this you and your EDM music?
This is EDM music. Oh, this is, you know, me and a bunch of 22-year-old girls, and the girls are dressed like, you know, hippos or whatever. Not in a good way, like sexy hippos. And then you got Lugi there as, like, you know, a 28-year-old with a bandana and neon clothing.
What was the substance of choice?
Well, so famously, I took off. That was my first year with Boomer and Carton, and I took an off day to go because it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I took off Friday. Exactly. I took off Friday to go to EDC. That's where Craig came up with the nickname Molly for me. So for those of you that are like, why does this guy call himself Lugi? Because it's better than Molly. That's why. And obviously, Molly is a more, you know, it used to be like, that's why when Tiki goes, you know, on X, and that's like for Twitter now, I'm like, when I hear X, I think of something different. So Ecstasy was what it was called in the 90s, but it was also called Techno, too. So anyway, so I took off, and then we had the famous bit where I took a urine test, I guess, and we spilled it and fell on Craig's hand and Alan. People still talk about that to this day. But
Craig made you take a urine test?
Yeah, because
was he actually going to get it tested?
We went through the whole protocol. It was very on the up and up. I mean, we had people here. We brought in people to test me, and I went into the bathroom with Al, not together, but we went in separate things. And I took care of what I had to take care of. And we ultimately ended up spilling it and fell all over Craig's hand.
So it was get tested.
So, no, it did, but because we had extras, because I, you know, had a couple bottles of water, and it was negative, of course.
Came back clean because you had a catheter strapped to your side of your leg.
But, yeah, exactly. So, but I used to love those. I haven't gone as much. I used to go to, like, Electric Zoo, which is in Randall's Island. I always wanted to go down to Ultra in Miami. Still do. There's always still time for that. I want to go to Ibiza or Ibiza, as the locals call it. Mm. Those are still on the bucket list. But, Tiki, there's this one thing. I'm married now, and I'm a little bit older. Although, I'm going to Nashville in a couple weeks.
So she go with you?
What's that?
Will she go with
Hell
you?
Hell no. Why you? I want
to
have fun.
Not to Nashville. I mean, to, like, one of these EDM things.
Not really. We haven't gone to a lot of those concerts. We actually went to Steve Aoki at Brooklyn Mirage. This was like right before the pandemic started. I mean, let me rephrase that. The pandemic had basically started.
Right. You were just damning it.
Yeah. It was like a week before like everything got shut down. The NBA got shut down. Uh-huh. Like Tom Hanks got like COVID and everything like went to hell in a handbasket. So this was about a week before that. We were at Steve Aoki. Now, Steve Aoki, obviously famous, Tiki, I don't know if you know this, for throwing a cake into the audience. So
what?
You get dessert with a Steve Aoki concert.
Yeah. I did not know this.
So, So Green Day I've never seen before, but they were very popular when I was Doogie, I think is the album they came out with in the 90s. So I never seen them before, but, you know, for those of you going out there, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of people. The weather's going to be great. You're going to get a concert.
Dookie. Not
what?
Doogie.
What'd I say?
It's not Doogie Howser. Dookie.
I'm in the Loogie mode. All right, Dookie. I apologize to all the family and friends of Green Day. Anyway, a little past 5 o'clock here, actually 10 minutes. A little impromptu Cinco to 5.
Cinco to 5.
the board here.
Yeah, he goes.
That song comes back.
Yeah, he goes.
That thing's just banned, Rosie. It's gone.
He was just talking techno and EDM. It made sense.
But that's not techno and EDM. It's just it's his hogwash. But when Evan is not here, we have a rule on the show: no awful AI songs. No AI songs. Period. Mm-hmm. Nothing AI. We just that is an Evan obsession. We're trying to wean him off it. We don't want to hear it. The audience definitely doesn't want to hear it. So no Roger's AI songs. All right, you got it. All right.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Lost all control.
Nicely played.
All right. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right. So I was at Giants camp today, and of course, Positive Tommy predicts 11 wins for the Giants this season, Teague. So I'm going to give you, in my Cinco de Fivo today, the top five Pro Bowlers for the Giants this season.
Oh, nice.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Giants had five Pro Bowlers.
I'm sure it's probably never happened. I have no idea.
I mean, it was one. It was me and Stray and Antonio Pierce.
Did we have a kicker? Maybe not. I don't remember. Does that even count, though, if a kicker is
right. A punter, I don't know if there's ever been five.
Well, it's going to happen this year.
I love it.
Number five, Bobby Okereke. He is number five. I think Bobby O, last year, Teague, like solid. Second half, he was like the best defensive player on the team, really. He was a real standout.
100% agree with that. Bobby is, I mean, he quickly became the leader. Don't forget. Last year was his first year as a Giant. It felt like immediately he was one of those defensive leaders. In fact, when they had the Giant 100 event, when was that, a month ago, 2 months ago?
At the Garden that you were at? Yeah, it was about a month ago. A
month and a half ago?
Yeah, or so.
He was there. He was one of the guys. All the legends were there, but the current players that were representative was Bobby Okereke.
No, absolutely. Definitely a team leader at this point.
Number four.
It's Andrew Thomas. We discussed him earlier in the show, and like I said, I was at camp today. Now, look, when they're doing these drills, they're not hitting that hard. Mm-hmm. Andrew Thomas pancaked a dude, and I was like within 10 feet, I soiled myself. I'm like, I would be evaporated if this guy looked at me. He laid some dude out. Now, they don't have the names on the back of the jersey, so who the hell knows who it was. But he creamed this guy. I've seen it on Twitter.
He's a dude.
The sound that was made when he blocked him was like deafening.
He's a dude. Definitely see that.
Absolutely.
He only made one All-Pro. I'm surprised that he's never made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he's underrated. Like, obviously, in this town, we all love him, and we know that he's so great, great offensive lineman, the key to the offensive line for the Giants. But I think around the league, he's just totally overlooked.
Got to be healthy.
Number three.
It's Kayvon Thibodeau, who's a dog, and I think that he is going to have a double-digit sack year. I think he's going to be a menace. Of course, playing with Brian Burns, that's going to alleviate a little bit of the double teams and all that stuff, obviously, with Sexy Dexy, too. I think the Giants defense, to me, Teak, I think they're a top 10, potentially top 5 unit in the NFL, and Kayvon's going to be right in the middle of that.
As long as their secondary holds up, it's hard not to see them being really, because the talent at the first and second levels is really damn good.
Absolutely.
Number two.
It's Brian Burns.
What? You got booking Pro Bowlers?
That's it. Nickname Spider-Man. Now, Tiki, for me,
I know that has never happened for the Giants.
Well, it's about to happen this year. Spider-Man, to me, is the best of the Avengers. I think he's the best for me. I like Tony Stark, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't like Iron Man as much, but I do like Tony Stark, and I like Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal of him.
Yes.
But if I'm going, you know, what is my favorite and what I think is the best Avenger, it's Spider-Man.
Didn't Tony Stark make his Spidey stuff better?
Yeah, he was sort of like a mentor to him.
Yeah, I'm forgetting what movie that one was.
Of all the 45,000 that they came out with.
Yes, but I feel like that Tony Stark actually improved Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was an absolute mentor to him, and I don't even necessarily have a particular Spider-Man that I like as far as actors goes. I'm sure everyone else will tell me which one they like as their favorite. But to me, Spider-Man, best Avenger, Brian Burns, an elite player on defense. He's going to change the whole situation there on defense. He was well worth the trade, the money, everything that came with him, and I think he's just going to elevate this entire Giants team.
Number one.
Number one to me, and we've been drooling over him all day, and the night the Giants drafted him, I said it, I'll say it, continue to say it, I've said it today, Malik Nabers will go down as the greatest wide receiver in the history of the Giants. He's that type of player. He comes from LSU, which is a wide receiver factory. Darius Slayton already compared him to Jamar Chase. I think you're going to get that type of player. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Malik Nabers, even better in person. He's a dog. He is going to be tremendous. He's going to change the entire flow of the Giants' offense. He's going to make them an explosive passing attack.
Yeah, I agreed with you. I mean, it feels like the one position that translates immediately in the NFL, if you're really good, is wide receiver.
Now
you can come in and play and be impactful right away.
Absolutely. I think it's the easiest one to translate. Right. Now,
it's why if you're picking high, you do that.
No, 100%. Because you know it's like a safer pick, I guess, what you're saying?
Right. It's safer, but it could also be one of the best that's ever done it. Especially because so many of these SEC wide receivers are so damn talented.
Yeah, and it's a passing league, and the SEC is basically the NFL. I mean, they're playing against top players.
Oh, you're right.
And he was in an NFL-type offense with Jaden Daniels. Now, their defense stunk at LSU, so they threw the ball a ton. But you're up against the top level. This is not the Sisters of the Poor. He's not playing for, Appalachian State.
Right. I used to believe that in any given college game, maybe there were two players that were going to make it in the NFL. In any random college game, there's probably max two players that were going to make it and be good in the NFL.
Now,
you go to an SEC game, it's like eight that are going to make it and probably be stars in the NFL.
So I've always wanted, and my bucket list is very, very long, and they all have a lot of the same thing in common. I've always wanted to take like an RV down with a couple of my friends, a little bro trip, and go to an SEC game. Now, I don't know whether it be, Alabama.
Bama's where you got to go.
The Grove at Ole Miss, though, Teak, looks awesome. Do a little bow tie, have a little bit of the mint julep. Like the Grove in Ole Miss, whatever game day's there, I've never
scene. Been there, but I'm just telling you the sights.
Bama?
And the sounds.
Yeah. Well, it's the sights that I'm worried about.
Particularly the sights.
I hear you.
And, I mean, the sights that you like, Tommy. Those sights.
They come in threes and fours.
Bryant Denny are worth looking at.
If I go down to Bama, I'm not making it in the stadium. I'm there for the parking lot. I may never make it in the stadium. I'll see it the after hours at the bars, and I assume there's tons of them, whether it be a little bit off campus. So that is on my bucket list of bro trips. Now, Tiki, we have a caller on the line that I think will touch home for you here, and it's this conspiracy theory that Greg and Latham wants to lay out here. Hmm. Greg, what do you got?
Let's hear it. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Pleasure, man.
Tiki, something you said on A-Rod Day gave me an epiphany.
Uh-oh.
You said, I finally started paying attention to baseball because I didn't have to go back to Albany, right?
Yes, that's right.
Everybody below the Tappan Zee hates us up here for some reason.
I don't.
But
I love it up there.
And I'm a lifelong Giant fan, okay? But the fact is, I've been fighting with Bills fans my whole life about who the true New York team is.
Yeah, they'll claim it because they're the only one that actually plays in New York. I hear you.
Well, the Giants left training camp up here in 2011. Last year, they won the Super Bowl. Then they moved into the Bougie Quest Diagnostic Center. They practice once a day. Then they get in their Lamborghinis. They drive up Route 17. They stop at the Bada Bang, then they go up to Upper Saddle River. They're not in their dorm room learning their playbook like Tiki Barber was.
Right, and sleeping on by my fourth or fifth year, we had those sleep number beds.
Right when they
first came out.
Yep.
So we, instead of sleeping on the dorm room beds, which were just basically cots, we actually got to church up our dorm rooms a little bit. You had to bring your own air conditioning.
Yeah, you stayed in the quad.
Yeah, we stayed
in the quad.
Everybody came with a massive TV and an air conditioning, because there was no air conditioning either. It was miserable.
Right, you're trying to learn your playbook, and you got Ron Dane probably blowing farts in your face.
There's an image.
You know what I'm saying?
I room with Brent Camilla.
These guys are soft.
No, you're right.
And then, hey, Tiki, how come you didn't get invited on the boat party?
Which one?
The one with like Odell, you're saying?
Oh, I was retired.
What boat party?
No. The late, great coach, Jim Fossil, he took the guys out on a Lake George fishing trip.
Yes, I remember that. So,
and the slightly short, different boat party
right, the
than the one I talked about.
Is I wanted to go home. I wanted to see my kid. My kids were like, my babies were babies. So
that's not how I remember it.
What it was.
They were scared because Tiki's a good dresser. They thought you were going to show up like Thurston Howell in your Project Runway suit.
Tiki is definitely an Under Armour mannequin. He is a great dresser.
He
is. We all dress crappy.
And whenever you guys get in your water. Right. Well, hey, man, I love you, Tiki. Love you, Luke. Keep it up.
Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate you, bro. By the way, here, my buddy Bobby Skinner, Talking Giants, John Boy Media, does a tremendous job. He pointed out to me online, I did forget Sexy Dexy. So the Giants will have six Pro Bowlers.
He made it last year.
Yeah, we're going to have six Pro Bowlers on the Giants. By the way, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Tiki will be doing something with John Boy Media Talking Giants in the near future. Be on the lookout for that.
Yes. And by the way, we excuse you. For those who missed it earlier, Sean had a family emergency.
Yes.
So he left, and Loogie didn't have his Cinco prepared. So he asked me what I should do. I said, do the Pro Bowl. They're going to be Giants.
Yes.
Came up solid, dude. You just forgot Sexy Dexy.
Yeah. So I wrote it down real quick on a piece of paper, like 4 minutes before, not prepared at all. So I just ran through it. But thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. And again, yeah, Tiki's going to be doing some stuff with John Boy here. So be on the lookout for that as we get closer now. Preseason, Giants season starting up here. 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugar, Lugie and Tiki here. Evan and Tiki. Let's go to John in Connecticut. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys, welcome here, a fresh listen, and first time calling in.
I appreciate it, John.
I got it. Yeah, thank you. And Tiki, if you could work out a way with management to kick Roberts out just for football season and get the overnight guy, we got a four-pack for Giants, and who cares about talking about the Jets?
All right, yeah, you got to give equal air, right?
Yeah.
It's the Jets, and it's Aaron Rodgers.
That's what you have Beningo for in the Saturday wasted time the hour. Anyway, one quick story to give my background, because I'm going to look forward to calling you guys hopefully regularly to get through during the football season of the Giants.
Appreciate it.
But, you know, they say once a Giant, always a Giant. So, Tiki, I'm going to throw this out to you. If I said the name Dave Jennings, would that ring a bell to you?
Of course.
Okay. So as a little fat kid growing up, David was my neighbor growing up. And my dad got me invited to his house, and I got to meet him. And then in 1976, during the holiday season, and then in 78, he invited me to his house, and he gave me autographed footballs of all the Giants back then, and that was Sims' rookie year, actually. So wow. I'm still in possession of those, and just telling you how, you know, I go back way back with 54 years with the Giants watching and going. And I wanted to ask this. It's we know if the season goes well for Jones, what that looks like. And if it doesn't go well, we know what that looks like.
Yeah.
I'm interested from a business perspective, okay? As long, and we know about, we're told about in this contract about the injury clause, which I think it's somewhere around October or something.
Yeah, it's like mid to late, it's still early part of the season.
Okay, so I'm a Jones believer. I'm probably in the minority camp. He's gotten a bad rap. We don't have to rehash that.
Right.
But my question is from a business situation, okay, and the intangibles he brings with handling the media, et cetera, I think he does a great job with that.
Andy's one of the leaders in the locker room. Like people forget that, but the team respects the hell out of him.
There's no question, and, you know, whatever happened today, I think as long as he doesn't over-try, but let me you know, to win over everybody.
Yeah.
Here's my business question, okay? From your understanding, if Jones is keeping them competitive, and I mean competitive by they're on the verge of potentially making the playoffs.
Right, so they're in games. They're not getting blown out. It's if they're losing, it's because the team is just better than them.
Correct.
Got it.
From a business contractual situation, because he has two more years,
right.
Do the Giants then at that point, you feel, go ahead and stick with him, even if they don't make the playoffs?
Yeah.
But as Mara says, meaningful games in December.
John, to answer, to cut you off, not to cut you off, but to answer your question, they absolutely will stick with if he's healthy and they're competitive and gives them the best chance to win, he's going to play. I don't care about that injury guarantee that's come due and whatever it is in October. Because I said this last year. I said it Dave's first year. They can't afford to not put the best product on the field, right? Winning is the only thing that matters. And I'm not talking about winning 10 games or 11 games or whatever you think is going to be. I mean, winning every Sunday matters. And you have to put your best player in the position to help the team win. And because of all those other things that you were just alluding to, which is Daniel Jones is a hard worker, Daniel Jones is respected in that locker room, the last thing that you want to do is pull that guy, a la Russell Wilson, who had no future in Denver, with Sean Payton as new head coach, like Sean did. You have to try to win. He gives them the best chance. Maybe Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke can, you know, maybe win some of these. Daniel Jones gives you the best chance to win. That whole injury thing is not going to get exercised.
No.
I just don't see that becoming a reality in this season.
No, when you're talking about the Giants, first of all, you're talking about one of the greatest franchises in the history of the NFL. This is a organization that has a lot of winning, a lot of pride. John Mara, forget about it. I mean, obviously what they've done for the NFL, what they've done for the Giants. They want to win games. It's like, we talk about it with Steve Cohen, a fan is our owner.
Right.
He's not just the owner of the Giants. He is a fan of the Giants, and he is not going to do anything to ever hurt that, them winning football games.
Yeah.
Ever. He's never going to do that. They're never going to put on sideshows. It's always about, they're not going to bring in a Tim Tebow or do these circus things. The Giants have always been about winning. They are a first-class organization through and through. Have they had the success recently? No. But it's not because they're not trying. It's not because they don't care about winning. So they will always do what is best to win. Now, as far as what we do, like me personally, you know, selfishly, do I think Drew Lock, because his wife is attractive and young Giant fans, guys will be into it, Natalie Lock? Absolutely, it's good for what we do. Tommy DeVito, whose mom cooks him the pasta fagioli and he sleeps with a nightlight. Would I rather see Tommy DeVito because I have more shtick for DeVito? Absolutely. But as far as giving the team the best chance to win, it is Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I agree with you. By the way, he mentioned Dave Jennings. Dave Jennings is one of the great men in Giant. In Giants history, he was a five-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowl, five-time All-Pro. Three of those were second team. He's in the Ring of Honor. He used to do the broadcast on WFAN here.
Yep.
Was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 95, and he ultimately passed away. I want to say it was like 14 or 15. Yeah, I remember when it happened, but he was always around him because he called games and stuff. He was one of the most gentle people that I've ever met, and when he passed, it was sad. But I'm glad that our last caller had some interactions with him, because he was a great man and a great Giant.
Absolutely,
so I'm glad he brought him up.
Yeah, and just being there today, like when you walk around, and I'm not gonna, you know, Sean would tell you, you know, I cried. I didn't cry, but like there's this feeling of being there, and you see the banners, and you see the names, and you see the pictures. It's like being at Yankee Stadium. There's like a chill that comes over your body because of the great players, and we're counting them down. The Giants are counting them down the top 100 list. Obviously, Tiki is going to be very prominent on that list as we keep getting closer and closer to number one. And you just realize the history. And it sounds corny, but I don't care. There is a pride as a fan rooting for that team that I feel.
Yeah.
Like, man, this is like, I love the fact that I'm a Giant fan.
Oh, I love that, man. That's I appreciate that.
Because it's just like guys like Tiki. Again, people, you want to mock me, make fun of me. There's a sense of pride when you walk in that building and go, man, look at the history and look at what this franchise has meant to the NFL. And I can't wait till they get back to the point. And they will. Because they're the Giants and they are put on this planet to win and win Super Bowls. And they will claim their rightful spot on that throne
one
day.
We're getting back. Don't worry. We're getting back.
Absolutely. And we will be back in a little bit here. We will get into the Gleyber Torres situation that happened over the weekend with Aaron Boone. Plenty more of your time for your calls on the Yankees, Giants, all that. We got you to 6:30. Then I got you with the Lugauer.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
.36 here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Tiki Barber, Evan, and Tiki. So, Teek, I'm not a parent, but I used to be a child. And I know that when, you know, and I you know, my parents, I'm an only child. I'm an Italian, Irish, German. My parents,
right, nice.
I'm not selfish, but I definitely was spoiled. So, like, I do something wrong. I was bad in school. Like, I'm obviously a smart guy. You listen to me on the radio, you can tell I have a high IQ and a high vocabulary. But I like to be a little bit of a class clown, and I like to get in trouble. I would get detention. Sometimes I'd get extended detention, T. I don't know if you know what that is.
What
basically,
is extended detention?
Well, it is what it say it is. Instead of sitting there for a half hour thinking about all the pretty girls in class, I sit there for 2 hours and figure, you know, why didn't I say a much worse curse to my math teacher so that I would have to sit here for 3 hours? At least I get my money's worth. Anyway, the point is that I feel like sometimes if you continue to do the same thing over and over and over again and you get punished, but not really to a greater extent, then I'm going to keep doing it. And I bring that up because Aaron Boone did something on Friday that he doesn't do a lot. Yes, he called out Gleyber Torres. He publicly embarrassed him. He pulled him from the game. All good. But then Gleyber Torres was back in the lineup on Saturday. Now, I get Gleyber hustled the next day. I get that he had a pretty good series after that. It seemed to snap him back out of it. But we've seen a player that's been lazy this year, that's been mentally checked out, that looks like he doesn't want to be here, that continuously doesn't hustle. And yes, Aaron Boone made an example of him for a night. But then when he's right back in the lineup, Teak, if you like tell your kids, if you don't, you know, finish your broccoli or whatever, we're going to punish you, and you only, you know, punish them for a night, and they're right back at it the next day. Are they going to eat their broccoli? No. Yeah. So Gleyber Torres, to me, in a week or two or 3 weeks, this will rear its ugly head again. Aaron Boone had a chance to bench him for like 3 games, 4 games, a week, whatever it is.
Well, he
to send a serious message.
But he did that earlier.
But only for like a game, right?
Yeah, well, I want to say it was like two games or so earlier in the season where he got sat down, and they positioned it as a mental break. And it wasn't because of non-hustling that time. I think it was just because he was slumping. And so they sat him down. And he came back after a couple of days. And he actually started to play better. And then we had the whole Marcus Stroman thing.
Yeah, he gave him the business.
When he was, you know, didn't turn the double play. Mm-hmm. He's screaming at him, throw the ball, or whatever it was. And then Aaron Judge got involved, talking to both Stroman and to Gleyber. And after that, Gleyber kind of picked it up a little bit. Here's my issue, and it's not necessarily that Boone let him play right away. It feels like whatever punitive measure is taken towards Gleyber Torres, it's not lasting. So it doesn't stick with him.
Right.
And so it's something else happens, and then you have to quasi-discipline him again, and then he picks it back up. Right? You know what I mean? So it feels to me like there's a self-motivation that he's lacking. And there's an individual urgency that he lacks on a day-in and day-out basis. It's almost like he's caught in this cool pose. I read this article years ago about how kids started to, especially that generation, they were so cool all the time, they didn't have to try.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm cool. And like, it's the antithesis of urgency. It's the antithesis of, like, I need to be on in this moment. I'm cool. And Gleyber too often is just, yeah, I'm cool. It's all good. And you can't play sports that way.
No.
I'm trying to think of a sport where if you're just, like, chill, you're okay. Like, I'm trying to think any of them. Surfing, basketball, gymnastics, whatever. Baseball, football. Like, there is no chill in being successful at a sport. And I think he constantly has to be reprimanded in these instances. There's now three of them that we've now talked about. He constantly has to be shown this because he lacks the ability to have a personal urgency. And it's got to be frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for everyone. Like, I think his teammates like him. I don't think they think he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean,
guy.
Aaron Judge came to his defense. I think he even said Gleyber Torres is one of the leaders of the team. Right. I got Swampland in Florida to sell you if you believe that. He's not one of the leaders.
I don't think he's a bad guy. And I don't think guys like hate him. Oh, I can't wait to get rid of him type of thing.
No.
It's just there is something off with his, like, give a you-know-what meter.
Yep.
And in order to be successful in sport, especially in New York, you better have a high one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if you're not hitting and you're not playing well.
It better be turned up to like 10
absolutely
all the time.
Yeah.
At the very least, it goes to 8. You can't be chilling around a 4. And I feel like Gleyber is chilling around a 4.
Yep, he's been a repeat offender. And again, if he was hitting 320 and he had 30 home runs and once in a while he was lazy, that's fine. But he's not hitting. He's struggling. He's in a tough market. And it continues to happen over and over and over again. And right. Aaron Boone and the Yankees have been accused of running a country club. And they do. Because when you see situations like this and guys aren't being punished, yeah, they're being punished, but not to a full extent to really send the message.
But I can't even say that it's a country club. Because I think for the most part, the judges of the world... Even Rizzo before he was hurt, he had an urgency about how he was playing. I think even DJ, he's got that urgency. Volpe certainly plays that way. So I think it's there. It's just there's a glaring example, and he's in a contract year, and so you kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt simply because of the pressure of being in a contract year. But at some point, enough is enough. And you can't keep getting fooled by him falling back into those same bad habits that make it look like he doesn't care. And that's the worst thing. Like, the optic of not caring will turn a fan base against you so hard that you might not ever get it back.
Absolutely. And for the conspiracy theorists that think, and I can understand it here, that maybe Brian Cashman wants Gleyber in the lineup, because we've seen it. You even brought it up at one point where Aaron Boone didn't want to criticize a player,
yeah,
or he didn't want to talk about lineup decisions.
Right, right.
And there are those that think the general manager makes the lineup. Now, I'm here to tell you, most managers don't make the lineup solely. It is an organizational thing. GMs have input. Mm-hmm. That's where the baseball's at these days. But it's possible, for whatever reason, Brian Cashman is telling Aaron Boone, "Aaron, I want Gleyber in the lineup." Okay, you punished him. You should. You have to do it in that spot. He keeps doing it. But get his ass back in the lineup the next day. I want him out there for whatever reason. Well, and that's just the way baseball is these days.
Well, part of it is because of the potential. I mean, let's not forget that last year he was their best hitter. When Aaron Judge got hurt and was out for a lot of the season with the toe thing from Dodger Stadium, Gleyber Torres was their best hitter. And so it's hard to forget that, but it's easy to emotionally disconnect from him when he looks like he's not trying.
Yeah.
And that's on him, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
That's on Gleyber.
Effort, you don't have to have talent. There's no excuse to not have effort. There's just absolutely no excuse. Now, Gleyber, there used to be this running joke around here. Like, a lot of Met fans would do this to Yankee fans, because when Gleyber first came up, we used to do, well, he's only 22. He's only 23, because he was putting up these numbers, and yes, Yankee fans said, he's only 23. Well, here we are a couple years later, and he is just not that player that we all thought he would be.
He's only 27.
Yeah, at one point it looked like it was going to be like him and Judge and Sanchez, and a lot of these guys have flamed out. Sanchez, similar stuff with Gleyber. Laziness, especially behind the plate, and that's where I bring the country club thing into it. Now, Stanton gets away with it, but Stanton's also can hit you 50 home runs, you know, wins an MVP or whatever. So Stanton's in a different category because, quite frankly, his status, the money he makes, if he doesn't want to run a ball out the first base, oh well, no one's going to tell Stanton what to do. But with Gleyber, I still think there should be some control in the organization, and whether it be, now I don't know what they're saying behind closed doors, but if I was Aaron Boone, I would have benched him for the entire weekend, maybe even a week, and been like, you know what, we're going to send a message, because the Yankees right now have absolutely turned their season around. The schedule lightens up. They have series this month against like the White Sox. I don't have it in front of me, but they have a very easy schedule in August. So I fully expect them to get fat. I expect them to be in first place by September. It really ultimately comes down to the Astros, their final boss in October.
Right.
And you don't want a situation where Gleyber does something in a big spot, in a big moment, where he's lazy or he doesn't have those fundamentals. And you thought maybe if you would have done something a little bit harsher in August or July, maybe he wouldn't have done that in September, October.
Their next 12 games, four series, Angels, Rangers, White Sox, and then Tigers.
Right.
So
they got the Nationals, too, that month. So they have a very easy August schedule. They're rocking and rolling. Obviously, Jazz, which, look, you want to criticize Brian Cashman, and we've heard it. Yankee fans versus Brian Cashman is Peter Griffin versus the Chicken and Family Guy, Tiki. Thank you for laughing on time this time. Yes, that's what it is. I mean, it's basically this never-ending battle. We've taken one. We've taken 100 million calls on fire Brian Cashman. Bottom line is this, and I heard this, and I could not believe it. At the deadline, and obviously things change now. They've gotten red hot, whatever. And to Sean Marash, and obviously, you know, we're thinking about you, bud, but he hit me up yesterday on Twitter. We talked about it a little bit today. We had the debate on the Lugash and throughout. Evan and Tiki, obviously here, 2 o'clock, 6:30, Monday through Friday. On The Fan, we are debuting, or we debuted, and we will continue to have this segment called the Lugash Debate Series. So what happens is me and Sean, we often bicker and fight. like a old married couple that's lost somewhere in Kentucky and we don't have GPS. So when we do that, Evan and Tiki will call timeout. Sean will be given a minute. I'll be given a minute to stake our, you know, claims to what the debate is and our side of the story. And then in a couple minutes after that, we will be able to fight and entertain the masses here. And then, exactly. And then Evan and Tiki will vote on it. All right. So long way to get to the point, and that is, the first debate series was about who was the hottest team in New York. I said it was the Mets. He said it was the Yankees. Now, he wanted to debate me today on it. And what I would say to him is, the Mets still have a better record than the Yankees since June 1st, and we beat you 4-0. Yeah. So no matter what you want to bring up over the last week, the Mets are still the hotter team and have been the hotter team for months. So
they have just recently. Well, they lost a series that they absolutely shouldn't have lost.
Yes, and Positive Tommy,
it's baseball,
as you know,
so I get it. So yeah, Positive Tommy can say it's just baseball. Yeah.
That's it. It's a long-ass season, and they have turned it around, though, since the deadline, and I think you got to credit Cashman. So I heard Yankee fans saying, what has Brian Cashman done? Hold on a second. He got you Juan Soto in the offseason.
Right.
So he got you a top-five player in baseball, and then he got you a guy that I think, and we've seen it, and he went to third base. Jazz Chisholm is a superstar in the making. So he got you Jazz, and he got you Juan Soto. So, yeah. He gets a lot of flack, and yeah, he hasn't been great with starting pitching, and he's certainly not without flaws, but Brian Cashman turned the Yankee season around, and they're about to go on a big-time run with the easy schedule. Dominguez coming back, Stanton, the lineup's going to get deeper. This Yankee team is turning it around, so the hate for Brian Cashman, I get it at times, but in this spot, I don't see why you would hate the guy because he got you Soto, he got you Jazz. But when it comes to Gleyber, Teague, I would have absolutely benched him for a longer period of time. Let's go to Colin and Wyckoff. What's up, Kyle?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
What's up, dude?
I want to weigh in on this. With, you know, I'm a big Aaron Boone fan. I'm a big Brian Dable fan. You get paid four quarters. You get paid nine innings. I pay full ticket price. Hustle your backside off, man. I'm not going to preach this, but I go to work. I'm with the same owner 32 years cutting meat. I go in every day like it's my first day. Have a little pride in what you do, gentlemen.
Right.
Gleyber Torres should be gone.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be gone because he's too valuable.
He's not. I understand
but,
that.
But I got to tell you, over the weekend, it was the same thing I was saying. He should be DFA'd tomorrow. Right? Just move on from him.
You're going to have the same results with or without him, but you're going to have a higher morale when the guy next to me has to hustle and I have to hustle. We go into work every day. We perform. We get paid. We're not there for free.
Yeah, but like Colin, with the morale thing, there's been no indication other than maybe Stroman getting into it with him that the players don't like him. Aaron Judge, and I understand they've kind of come up in the business together.
It did come to surface. We saw that they did not care for his action.
Absolutely. And look, Gleyber said all the right things after the game on Friday, and he apologized to the fans. He did all the right things, much like Evan Neal last year when that whole fiasco. Right. He said all the right things, and he's performed since then, but he performed also last time he got benched. He performed right after Marcus Stroman got into it with him. So we've seen it short-term with Gleyber every single time there's been an incident. And oh, by the way, there have been times where he deserved to get benched and didn't. Yeah. If you did a real deep dive with this guy, there have been many times where he's been lazy.
Problem. It's the same thing over and over, different situations, circumstances, but it feels like it keeps happening. That's what makes it frustrating.
You guys just answered your own question. It's not going to end. When's it going to end? It's going to end when I send you out of town because I'll get the same results with or without you. You're not here because I like you. You're here to play baseball and win, and that's the name of the game. And you're making a heck of a lot more money than most of these managers are, and they're going to take the heat for you.
Right, and they are.
Absolutely.
Boone certainly has been.
No, 100%. And Aaron, like I said, sometimes it feels like he's reading off a teleprompter, but he does that because day after day in this market, with this situation, also with Brian Cashman, who has a lot of input, Aaron is there. Obviously, I think Aaron is a good manager. He still has a lot to answer for in October. I understand that, and it's not all his fault. It's not all on him. He still has to answer the bell in October, and he will get another opportunity this season. But it's not an easy job being the Yankee manager. It's not, and they've had success. He's won games, but he has a lot to answer for. But I thought he had an opportunity there, and he went a little bit, but he didn't go the full way. Now, whether that's Brian Cashman having input on Gleyber, or whether that's Aaron having a little bit of a soft spot, even with the repeat offenses. And Tiki, you brought it up. There's been brilliance from Gleyber Torres in his Yankee career.
Yeah.
And I still think they don't cut him because they're just hoping. Because it's effort.
Right.
And they're like, maybe one point this guy's going to wake up and go, you know what? I'm going to start putting maximum effort in. I got embarrassed in front of 45,000 people in the entire world watching the game the other night. I am not going to no longer dog it when I, you know, hit the ball off the wall, or I'm going to back up first, but whatever the case may be, he is going to put more effort in, and I think that's what they're hoping for. The problem is it's hard to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, right? Yeah. Like, you are what you are at some point.
Right, here. And at some point, you as an organization get tired of having to motivate him.
Yep.
Right? If we are, and he hasn't been paid yet, because obviously he's a free agent, but if we are going to pay you, you gotta be self-motivated, man. It's like going to an Ivy League school.
Yep.
Like, they're not gonna hold your hand just and pass you and grade you. Like, you gotta do it.
Yeah, you're playing for the Yankees. You're playing for the greatest organization in the history of sports. Like, if you're on this team, there is a sense of pride that you need to take as a professional when you put the pinstripes on, when you are a Yankee, that if you're not doing that, like, I just don't understand, like, what the deal is. Like, it's not up to Aaron Boone or any of these guys to hold their hands. Now, I do think he should have disciplined them more, yeah. But Gleyber's gotta take some pride to him and be like, I'm a Yankee. This is unacceptable. And the fans deserve more because they root for this team. Let's go to Matt in Manorville. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, Logie? How you doing?
Good, bro. How you doing?
What's up, man?
I'm good, thanks. Tiki, what's up, buddy?
All's good.
I'm a big fan of yours, man. Been a Giants fan my whole life. And, you know, my two brothers, they play D1 sports, so I know what it takes to be, you know, top-notch at your position. And, man, for you to do that, you should really give yourself a pat on the back. That's awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
So I usually always agree with you, Loogie. You know, I always tune in and I'm always on board when you're talking about, you know, the Knicks and everything that you've said, you know, the past couple months. But you're giving Cashman, in my opinion, a little too much credit. I mean, let's see. How long has he been the GM? Like 15 plus years. He's got one World Series to his name with the team that he built. And, you know, I think with all the mishaps that he's had as a GM, I'm sure you're going to agree with me when I bring it up, you know, Ellsbury, so on and so forth.
No, there's been a lot.
Just because it's the Yankees, it's easy to cover those mistakes up. If it was any other franchise, you have to agree, he would bury these guys.
Yeah,
you know?
You could see, if you're a GM for the Yankees, you could send a bad contract to witness protection. I understand that not every organization can do that. I get that. You never heard from again. Basically, you call Big Tony and you never heard from again. You're in the East River. I understand that. But I also think that when we're talking about Brian Cashman here, Matt, my point is this. Yes, he's had some success, obviously a lot of success in the regular season. He's had some failures, but I'm just looking at this year. And when I heard Yankee fans being like, what has he done? He got you Juan Soto and Jazz Chisholm. That's a lot.
He's
been good. The only thing that bothers me is, why are we so hung up on holding on?
Because Hal is very comfortable with Brian. It's the only basically GM he's ever known.
No, but I'm saying the prospects. I mean, we could have went and got one starting pitcher.
Why not go all in? Right? Why not?
Yeah, why not go? You know, I'm sure we could have did something to get Blake Snell. I know Blake Snell wasn't pitching that well, but he just threw a no-hitter. I mean, if you had a guy like that behind Cole, you know, we got to be right at the top of winning the World Series here. I mean, what's the big deal if you give up our best hitter, which I was just reading. What's the big guy's name in the minors? What's his name?
Dominguez.
Yeah, no, not Dominguez. The tall.
You mean Spencer Jones?
Spencer Jones.
Yeah, Spencer Jones. I heard that he's going to come up here and he's going to strike out a lot. We don't need another guy like that.
Yeah, he's a lefty judge, they're saying. A little bit smaller, but yeah,
I'm sure he could learn to put the ball in play a little more than what he is in the minors. But, I mean, we have the power. This is the time. We got Soto. We got Joe. I'm just saying, if we would have added one more starter,
It's just really hard, Matt. And I hear what you're saying. It's just really hard when you've developed, like actually developed a prospect, and you see him starting to come to fruition, and his estimated time of arrival to the Major League Baseball is like 2025 or maybe even, you know, 2026. And you're that close. It's taken 4 or 5 years. And now you're that close to having them come up to just give them away and have them go rake someplace else. I think it's hard to do. You know, that being said, it's been a long time since the Yankees have won a championship and really even competed for one. They've been in the ALCS, obviously, but to actually have a chance, it's been a long time. At what point do you have to just say, now's the time?
Yeah, I think with prospects, I think this happens with fans and with the organization. Prospects, why we love prospects is they represent hope.
Right.
They could be the next Aaron
right.
Judge.
If something goes wrong, if all hell breaks loose, it's the hope.
Yeah, or they could be the next David Wright. Now, listen, 95% of these guys are never heard from. They are like draft picks in the NFL, meaning like, oh, we sent a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and everybody gets all crazy. It's like, well, what did they draft with those players? So
yeah.
I think sometimes prospects are overrated, but the reason you hold on to them is because you don't want to have a James Shields, Fernando Tatis Jr. trade. I get all that, but as far as the pitching, I think Snell is going to ultimately opt out at the end of the year, so you could go sign him in the offseason. And I don't think starting pitching, when you have Rodon, when you have Cole, when you have Stroman, and I know he struggled in the second half, when you have Nestor, Heel, although I would move Heel to the bullpen, I think you were better off trading for an arm in the trade deadline. But
right. and they
you
got,
still
and
got
they,
Jazz Chisholm,
right.
and the team's been on fire since the trade. So I don't know how you're going to criticize. There are time and places to criticize Brian Cashman.
If he had done nothing this year, it would have been a time to criticize him. But he didn't do nothing. He got what they needed.
Yes.
And Leiter Jr., Mark Leiter Jr.,
right.
who knows, you know, what he's ultimately going to be this season.
Yep.
But he made some moves to shore up some of the back end of the bullpen.
You're getting Clark Schmidt back.
You're getting Clark Schmidt back, obviously. But most importantly, you got rid of your lineup hole. And without someone protecting Judge or Soto, they're just going to get placed on base and they're going to die on base.
That's it.
Jazz Chisholm helps change that decision for an opponent. All right, we'll walk Aaron Judge. Well, guess what? Jazz is going to hit him in. Before Jazz, that wasn't happening consistently, really, at all.
No, and I think you saw it, to me, when the Mets played the Yankees, and of course the Mets beat them all four times, I think what you saw there is that the Mets lineup was a lot deeper, and the Yankees, and Luis Severino was right, at the time, only had two hitters. They had J.D. Davis at cleanup. Now what Jazz gives you, it stretches out the lineup. Now Wells looks like a player. Volpe's been red hot. Ben Rice, you get Dominguez back, Stanton back, and all of a sudden that lineup is really, really deep. To me, it ultimately comes down to the back end of the bullpen. That's why I would move Luis Heel to the closer. You have an electric arm. Holmes does not strike anybody out. You can't have a closer that doesn't miss bats.
Right.
You need a guy that has electric stuff, that could strike people out, that could beat the Astros. That should always be going through your head. How do I beat Houston? I don't care, because I know Sean feels this way. They think Houston's down and out. They are not down and out. They are your final boss. You have to figure out a way, because you haven't, beating Houston, and I think having Heel at the back end of the bullpen with Holmes, with Weaver, to me, Leiter, that's where I would put him, and I think the Yankees are ready to go, and like I said, I think they'll be in first place.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.